The track to the lookout from Govey's Lagoon winds its way slowly up the hill till, on the right-hand side, if you're smart, you'll see a wooden seat facing south. It's a spot where you can look back at the caves and the peregrine falcon's nests. And if you have a pair of binoculars, take a close look at the valley slopes on the other side. The bush is pretty open, or to give it its correct botanical name, it's dry sclerophyll, or just plain old eucalyptus scrub to others, but it's still fascinating. It's still in its natural state, just as it was when the Big River Aboriginal tribes walked through this valley, heading to and from the east coast. Here's Heather Chauncey once again.
Sitting on this seat up here, looking straight across at where the falcons nest, in those rocks across there, you can see the white splashes underneath their nests. Some of the ones at the far ends will probably be with big owls as well. It's a good nesting site for all of those, and most birds are fairly compatible within their breeding areas. They don't really go for each other too much. The big owls will go back into the caves. The falcons only nest on shallow ledges. The eggs are just laid on a ledge, and the chicks, when they hatch out, just sit on the ledge waiting to be fed. They're rather pretty little fluffy things, except for their feet, which are huge. The seat I'm on, actually, was brought up and put together here by one of the Green Corps teams. Green Corps teams have come up here and done a great deal of work for us over various years, and we felt this was a particularly impressive thing for them to do. They found the wood down on a tip somewhere, constructed it and carried it up here, and it must have been quite a heavy job to do that, but it does make a very nice seat. We can sit here, we can watch for the falcons flying around their nests and up over the caves. Mostly, of course, they don't do a great deal of flying at lunchtime, but if you come up here later on in the evening or in the afternoons, you'll see them about and see them flying over to go hunting. You can also look across, looking towards the left, you look up there where there's that little V gap in the hills, that's where the big tarn is. The property goes on round and right round to the end where you can see a hill up in the distance, which is basically the end of the creek as well. It divides into two creeks and then sort of dribbles away into nothing very much. But it's quite steep country all through there. The bush changes quite radically. You get different sorts of bush further back, different sorts of shrubs and trees, much more east coast type scrub, some of it up there, and different types of ferns. So you do get different varieties of bush all the way through in little patches here. It's very much an area where you get very small pockets of different vegetation all the way through it. You can't just look at it and say, oh, this area will be all that. No, it won't. You know, 15 feet further on, it's all turned into something quite different, which does help for a variety of insects and birds. This is also a very good area for orchids in spring. You get most of the Caladinas out up here and a lot of the greenhoods of various varieties. On top of the caves, you also get the duck orchids. I'm never quite sure. The descriptions in the books always say swampy land. We have ours growing right on top of the caves, quite large patches of them. They're one of the latest ones. They don't come out till about December. But by this time, you know, you see orchids most of the year round up here. There's always some wild plants in flower. And if you look carefully, you will find orchids in most of this countryside. But if you look as you're walking, you also get very pretty grass seeds and flowers as well. And of course, earlier in the year through here, the sag lilies would come out in the big batches of sags. There's always something flowering in the bush if you learn to look for it. But you do have to be careful and watch where your feet are going. And then you will see all sorts of little things. The wild violets are out most of the year, and we also have the single blue violet up here. That's a bit further back usually, depending on what sort of rock we're on, what sort of countryside we live in.
Heather is about to relate a remarkable story about peregrine falcons and about how protective they can be, how they hunt, and how a keen nature photographer, Dave Watts, came to grief. Well, enough from me. Here's Heather again.
Dave Watts photographed them up here. Dave had a very unfortunate experience. He had his hide up here, and that was fine, and he was photographing for quite some time various development of the birds. Had a friend come up, help him take the hide down. I think he must have left something behind, or I hadn't realised he hadn't packed everything up. His friend went off ahead of him, and the peregrine falcon, the hen bird, saw him by himself, and she was furious. She came straight down, big stoop from very high up, fisted him across the forehead, knocked him down, and he had slight concussion from it. And poor Dave, he came back to the house, bleeding quite heavily from being hit over the head by a falcon. And everybody's comment, whenever anyone was told, was they did hope the bird was all right. Sympathy was unfortunately lacking for him. When they strike, they usually kill by folding their talons into a fist and coming down at enormous speed and hitting. That's how they do most of their kills. They very rarely kill anything on the ground with their talons spread. That's if they catch it mid-air, but mostly they fasten on it later. But they will come down, basically they break the neck of most things that they hit. They didn't break Dave's neck, but she did some damage, she did, telling him what she thought of him throughout.
So how can one identify a falcon's nest from other nests? Well, after years of climbing and exploring and watching nature at work, who else do you turn to for the answer to that question but Heather?
What you look for underneath, there's a nice crop of stinging nettles, because debris and bits and things fall, and stinging nettles do very well underneath all the falcon nests. That's Nick Mooney said, you know, you look for the stinging nettles, charge through them, and you'll find your falcon nests. You look for the rock type of rock area, and you look for the splashes of droppings on the rock, but basically, you know, that's a very good indicator that you've got a nest above. The white cockatoos are very recent here. They've only come in the last 5 or 6 years. Before that, we never saw any in this area. In fact, before that, they were mostly confined up around Epping Forest and up through Ouse and up that way a bit. Now they seem to have spread pretty thoroughly over most of the state. We've had them breeding in the valley now for, I suppose, 4 or 5 years. Not in large quantities. We only have a pair, maybe two pairs breeding in the valley. They're extremely nasty noises. I'm not very fond of those. I much prefer the big black cockatoos, which we've always had around, and which always go around in uneven numbers in their mob. I've never seen a black cockatoo flock, unless it's been a double one, which doesn't have an uneven number in it. And apparently that's the same on the mainland. I don't know what reason there is for that, but they always seem 3, 5, 7, 9, 11. Sometimes if you get a really big group, it's obviously a double lot, and then they will split and go off again. Kookaburras are also an import. Well, of course, they're an import to the state anyway, but we haven't had them up here. Oh, I suppose we first had them up here about 15, 20 years ago. Now, unfortunately, they are nesting around. They do a lot of damage. They take a lot of the lizards, small snakes, and they also take a lot of the small finches and birds. And I think they're a most unfortunate thing to have around, but we seem to be stuck with them, so, you know. We don't have many families here. I think it's a bit overgrown for them. I don't think they really like this type of bush very much.
It's time to head back home towards the main road that you arrived on, going back the same way you came up. But on the way back, as you walk beside the creek, we have a surprise for you. It's called Eve's Bath, and it's the subject of the next sound file.